Welcome to Africa, Stories in the 55. I'm Laura Angela Bagnetto. Today we have two authors, South African Yawande Omotoso, author of The Woman Next Door, just out this month, and from the Democratic Republic of Congo, writer Fiston Mwanza Mujila, who won acclaim for his book Tram 83 in French. It's now available in English through Deep Vellum Publishing. Tram 83 just won Nigeria's Etisalat African Literature Prize, so we sat down with Mujila to find out what his book is all about.
Tram 83, c'est un bar.
Tram 83, it's a bar, but a bar that's not only that, because it's also a brothel, a restaurant, because we can eat dog meat there. It's also a place where you can play and listen to some music. It's a multifunctional bar, and this bar is located in a country that's not one, in a city that's not one. It's a city-state, meaning that this city doesn't correspond to either the criteria of a regular city nor a regular country. And within this city, state, come two men to find money and pleasure at the bar. During the day, they go into the mines and dig, and when the night comes, they go dancing, salsa, polka, rumba, in this bar called Tram 83. The idea of Tram 83 is one of a sassy journey, a wild journey, a journey that's not defined, meaning that when you enter this bar, you lose the notion of space and time. And I wanted, through this city-state, a city that broke free and became a country. And through this bar, you can think of the world.
What inspired you to write this novel?
In order to write this novel, I started with three cities, Lubumbashi, Kinshasa, a city full of life, pleasure, a city where people tend to love music, alcohol, excess, where people simply love to live, and Mbujimai, a city of light. So I took from all three to create this city-state. Working in the mines, it's the same conception of the world, of life, because it's like working with no protection. This work is like the metaphor of death. People dig and dig, and after some time, several hours, they come out of the hole. It's a beautiful metaphor. I think all of us, human beings, we are this miner. We dig to find a good job. We dig to gain appreciation, recognition. We dig to be with the man or woman of our life. We dig to have something to eat. So I think there's a lot of poetry in the metaphor of the mine. Being from Lubumbashi, coming from a family connected to the mines, it was important to me, for my first novel, to bring my characters into this world, this scenery, this territory.
In the novel, you call women under age 40 baby chicks, regardless if they have children or not. That sounds a bit misogynistic.
Il faut dire que dans ce roman, les hommes...
In this book, the men and women are described with fragility, and I use the word towards, because in French, thanks to this very short word, vers, that word gives the sensation of turning yourself towards something, going in another direction. So they have excesses, they have problems, but at the same time, they have excesses towards freedom. First of all, I'm very lucky to have had a brilliant translator, Roland Glasser. In Mbujimai, two women sell their bodies, their charms. We call them Tumbuktu. I don't know if I've used that word properly, meaning these women hang out as a gang and sell their bodies for sex. So that's what's happening in real life, and it's very difficult to describe. Hence the need for a lot of poetry, maybe even some insolence, a lot of transgression, to give life to this character who works in the mines without any protection. Because you know, in some mines, those without access to the sky, those that are basically holes, you need to dig deep. So these are real-life situations that exist in our world, so it was interesting to highlight these realities.
Up next, we have a new novel released this month by Yawande Omotoso, a South African writer with Nigerian and Bajan roots. The Woman Next Door discusses privilege, race, and class, but from the perspectives of two older women. We asked Yawande about how she sees her novel.
I often say that the book is about a hate ship between two octogenarians. It's about relationship. It's about the difficulty of relating and what happens when opposites come together. Two women who have the bulk of their lives behind them, and those lives have been, for whatever reason, difficult. Not difficult in terms of the material sense or in terms of their accomplishments. They're incredibly successful and wealthy, but just emotionally anemic. And as a result, they're bitter and mean, and they're neighbors. And something happens, and they end up having to move from hating each other to needing one another. And so it's about that relationship. It's set in South Africa. It's also a bit about South Africa's history, the history of apartheid, and it deals with issues of shame and reconciliation, love, and class.
These two women live in post-apartheid South Africa. One is first generation and the other is an expat. But their views of apartheid and privilege really form the basis of their prickly friendship.
The fact that we need to talk, the fact that we had the Rainbow Nation, we had all the euphoria of 94 and all that that ushered in, we're kind of 20 plus beyond that. And did we put a bandage on a burn? Did we not air out some of the anger and bitterness and resentment enough? We probably haven't healed. We're possibly, all of us, all races and all cultures, the walking wounded. I often think a sick nation. And so it was to somehow explore that through this relationship between these two women, explore what happens if we start to pick at the scab of this thing called apartheid and then the rainbow and the reconciliation. Was that premature? Do we have to go back and do some more work, some emotional work, some psychological work, real forgiveness work? Does that kind of work ever end?
Here's an excerpt from The Woman Next Door, read by author Yawande Omotoso.
What Hortensia didn't seem to understand was that sometimes we have to honor our ancestors and side with them. This meant we justified what was horrible and turned away from what needed scrutiny. This life of ignoring the obvious required a certain kind of stamina. The alternative to this was to set on a path to make rubbish of what had gone before us. This approach of principles, activism, and struggle required stamina too. All the same, Marion had chosen the other one. I know I've made bad choices, Marion started in on the conversation, no warm-up. She'd caught Hortensia as she came out of the toilet, the best place, Marion had thought, but Hortensia didn't look too happy about it. May I? Can I at least walk? Can I get past the bathroom? Can I sit? Marion pinked. She let Hortensia walk past her and followed. Hortensia propped herself at her desk and Marion stayed standing. After several seconds, when Hortensia said nothing, Marion sat down on the edge of the bed. Let me speak, Marion. I can't absolve you. I don't want to do this thing with you, this let's talk thing. I thought we were becoming friends in a way. I don't know what that means, and I prefer not knowing.
Both of these women seem to believe that they are outside of the issue of apartheid because one is an expat and the other is first-generation Jewish South African.
I mean, I think that's a very common discourse, the idea of, well, it wasn't me, or I'm being punished for the sins of my forebears, or this idea of hands off, you know, I had nothing to do with that. I don't think that that's a valid response to these situations. At first, with something like apartheid, what we have to understand is people were privileged, whether you were asking for it or not. And so what's important is that one can acknowledge that. One can acknowledge I was privy to something that I didn't necessarily ever have to earn. Even me, and I think this is where intersectionality comes in. I am of a middle-class upbringing. My parents were educated. I was given an education. I didn't earn that. It's like the accident of being born in a certain kind of family. So my relationship to this privilege is important. I can't just go, oh, well, I don't have to be responsible for anything. I do. I have to be responsible for that I have certain privileges that other people do not have, not because I'm better than they are, but because of these often unfair ways in which life is organized. It's important that we don't just say, I wasn't involved, or we don't just say, let's just move on. That was however many decades ago. The idea of the book is that we have work to do, and it's the quiet work. It's the psychological work. It's work that involves humility. It's work that involves real emotional intelligence. And mostly, we're very ill-equipped. And, you know, so my two characters are definitely anti-heroes. I mean, they're not at all equipped to do this kind of work. But it's what the time and the situation they find themselves in calls for.
That's all the time we have today. Thanks for listening to Africa, Stories in the 55. I'm Laura Angela Bagnetto. Until next time.